I've got some passages of Scripture for you today, and I didn't get them on the screen. My family and I, we just got back from Red River, New Mexico. We went up there and found some white, fluffy stuff. I've tried to explain to my kids what that is, and I think they finally got it, that it's slippery. And if you put these long sticks on your feet, you can point them downhill, you can actually glide. And they've learned that that is called skiing. And then when you get tired of gliding, the best way to stop is just to fall. And they did a lot of that. And luckily, no broken bones, no serious injuries except to pride maybe. But we had a great time, a great trip. And thank you for keeping us in your prayers as we were traveling. And long way out there, 1,940 miles round trip. Some of us are a little road weary, but I am so glad. All week I've been ready to get back here. This is my favorite place to be. I like the snow, and I had fun skiing and snowmobiling and all that kind of stuff, but this is my favorite place to be, and I'm glad to be back with you today. So, all that being said, I don't have Scripture for you on the screen, but if you'll turn, our key verse is going to be in the book of Micah, Old Testament book. Towards the very end of the Old Testament, just a few books before Matthew, Micah, one of the last prophets of the Old Testament, Micah chapter 5, and I'm going to read the first five verses. I'm going to key in on one particular verse. It's going to be verse number 2. That verse is printed in your bulletin. Hey, man, I tell you what, Steve is great back there. He got the Scripture up on the screen for you. Verse 2 is going to be our key verse. You'll find that in your bulletin. But I'm going to read the first five verses. And this is the prophecy of the prophet Micah. And he said, "Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. They will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." Have any idea who that's talking about? We just celebrated his coming to us. But the reason I want, if you could, Steve, if you wouldn't mind going back to verse 2 and just putting that up there for a quick minute. What I want us to really focus on this verse, it says, "Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." A better translation of that would be from days of eternity past. Jesus did not begin at Christmas. He did not. His origins are from ancient days, from days of old, from eternity past. And if you'll look, if you can flip real quick to John chapter 1, John wrote of the existence of Jesus Christ. And he didn't write, he said Jesus Christ began in a stable, in a manger. He didn't say that, he said this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Better translation would be the darkness has not understood it. It boggles the mind of the darkness. He was in the beginning. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Listen, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Look around. Guess who made it? God did. Jesus did, and he existed before it ever began because he created it. He created it. Then one more passage I want to read to you, and you're going to see how we progress through this. Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says this. Christ, Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And what I want to see, what I want us to see through these few passages of Scripture is that Jesus Christ, three action items here. Jesus Christ was before the beginning. Okay? He was with God in the beginning. How do we tell time? How do we know when it's time to go to bed? How do we know when it's time to get up? The sun is how we set the time. That's how we count the years, right? One trip around the sun is a year, right? One rotation of the earth around the sun, one rotation of the earth is a day. We tell that because the sun, when we see the sun and all that, guess what? There was a time when that did not exist. So before how we tell time, before that was created, Jesus was. He created time. So he existed before even time began. That's ancient days. That's days of old. That's eternal days. Jesus Christ, we read from Micah. That his origins are from old, from ancient times. John writes, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he created it all through Jesus Christ. Then in Paul, we see now that Jesus Christ, he was with God in the beginning, before the beginning, okay, before time. He was with God, he was God, he created everything. He came into his creation, okay? That's why we celebrate Christmas. He came in to his creation, and then now Paul writes, now after his completed work, he is ascended back to the Father, and guess what he's doing there? He's praying for you, and he's praying for me. We see all of these things that Jesus has done since before time and now until time ends. That is a long stretch of the life that we see of Jesus. And sometimes we get all wrapped up in, well, Jesus is this baby. He's laying in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he's so sweet, and people come and visit him and bring him gifts. That's Jesus. In part. Sometimes we get hung up with Jesus dying on the cross and the passion and the scourging and the thorns and the spear and the whippings and the nails and that's a part. But Jesus is so much bigger than any of that. He's so much bigger and he's so much more important than just those items. Now let me tell you something. The coming of Jesus Christ is important. The death of Jesus Christ is important. Let me tell you why that's important, in case you didn't already know. It took that perfect sacrifice. It took the purest sacrifice to purchase your life. Because of the sins that we commit. Because of the lies we tell. Because of the thoughts we entertain. Because of the attitudes that we express, because of the hatred we keep in our heart, because of the prejudices, because of the filthy habits, because of the selfishness, all of those things. That's what Jesus came and he died for. Because the Bible tells us that there is no way unto the Father. We can't come unless we are pure. And guess what? Sin has made us impure. Sin has made us tainted. Matter of fact, God said, you know what? Even your best offering is not good enough. Your best, The best offering you can give is not pure enough to counter out your sin. There's only one way to accomplish that, and I'm going to do that. So I sent Jesus Christ for you, God says. He said, my son is perfect. He said, my son will accomplish what you cannot do. Will you receive that gift? I got off my notes and started preaching there for a minute. Micah prophesied hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus Christ. Not only where he would be born in Bethlehem, but he told about that this is not the beginning of Jesus. And this is where I was really focusing on my sermon preparation, is that there's so much more to Jesus than what we picture in our minds sometimes. And it's not the beginning of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas time. Because remember what Micah said? He was before time ever began. We don't celebrate the beginning of Jesus. We celebrate his coming to us. It's a very special gift. Micah prophesied hundreds of years before the coming of Christ, and that his existence was from eternity past. Then we get John. He was with Jesus here on this earth, and he wrote, and he recognized that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that prophecy by saying that he was with God in the beginning and that all things were made through him. And then we have Paul, who writes, after Jesus completed his work here on earth, he ascended back to the Father, and he tells us that Jesus Christ is praying for you. He's interceding for you on your behalf. He's lifting you up. He's praying for you. Let me tell you something. When God prays to God for you, that's powerful. That's powerful. Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation of Christ, but it's not the beginning of Christ. He has always been and will always rule as the Creator. I love the song that we sang a while ago, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. It's always been, it'll always be about you, Jesus. Because it is. Whether you recognize it or not, that song goes on to say, and the scripture tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Whether or not you do it here on this earth, you're going to do it. Here's the problem. If you don't do it here while you have breath in you and you don't confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then when you come and you have no other recourse, when you stand in front of Him face to face and you're bowed because He is holy, the next words, I don't want to hear. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to hear. I'm confident of that. For those that don't bow the knee here on this earth, when they bow the knee in front of Jesus Christ, the next words are, depart from me. I never knew you. That's sad. That is really sad. I don't want to be there. I'm not going to be there. I don't want you to be there either. I don't want you to be there. And here's the deal. I can't convince you that you need Jesus either. I could preach till I'm blue in the face, and it wouldn't do a bit of good unless the Spirit is tugging at your heart. Now, here's the deal. When you hear the Spirit and you hear the voice of God in your life, convicting you of your sin, drawing you unto Him for salvation, that's your chance to respond. That's your chance to respond. Jesus created me, and He created you. This year, as we've celebrated the coming of Jesus Christ, His coming here to save us, have you grasped the significance of your life? In the beginning, before time ever began, He planned you. He planned you. He created you for a reason. Why are you here? I'm not talking about why are you here this morning. I'm talking about why are you here? Why do you exist? Why? Are you fulfilling what His plan is for you? And I pray that as we start this new year, that we each seek to find that purpose in our lives. And that not only we seek it, but then we actively engage in accomplishing everything that God has desired for you and for me. You see, He created us to do. He didn't create us just to, you know, I think some people get this image that God just made stuff, and it's kind of like the big ant farm where you have a big glass box with dirt in it and you put ants in it and you watch them and they dig tunnels and you just kind of watch them. I think some people feel like God's that way. He's just like amused. And then He'll drop some food in there every once in a while and kind of see how we react and see how we dig the tunnels and watch us and how we interact with one another. I think that's how some people view God. Let me tell you something. That's not the case. God created you to do. He created you for a purpose. How do I know that? Ephesians 2 verse 10 tells me, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God created you. He created you with a purpose for you to accomplish. So again, I ask, why are you here? Why are you here? I want us to look at something here. Jesus existed from days of eternity. He created everything, Jesus did. He came to us in order to reconcile us back to the Father. And He's now interceding. He's praying for that creation. Here's how I think we need to apply this to our lives today. Okay, here's the crux of it. Some of us need to take stock of our lives and see if we're following His example. What did Jesus do? He existed. He created. He stepped into His creation. Got involved in it. Got His hands dirty. Got His hands wounded. And then He prayed for His creation. He created it. He saved it by getting His hands dirty, and now He's supporting it by prayer. We need to take stock and see if we're following that example. You see, Jesus didn't just sit back and pray for it to happen and see what would, see if it would work or not. See, He stepped into it. Some of us need to start creating and then pray for its continuation, pray for its support. Maybe that's in the form of a Bible study. Maybe that's in the form of a time of prayer. Maybe it's some other form of ministry. But whatever it is, I think Jesus is telling us it's time to start doing. You see, His example was not, let me just pray. Now, He spoke the word into the world into existence. But He didn't just sit back and pray. He actively got involved in it. Sometimes we just like to pray. Prayer is a good thing. Don't get me wrong there. Don't walk out of here saying, "Well, Brother Mike said we just stop praying and just start doing." Mm-mm. Do not hear me saying that. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes we need to start doing and pray. This place, Dolan Baptist Church, the church in general, the universal church, is a place primarily for people to serve, not just to be served. I think as we go on and head into this new year, we need to rethink our place in the church. Am I here to be served, or am I here to serve? Am I here to just reap the benefits, or am I here to get involved and invest? That's what Jesus did. He invested. Seeking God's direction through prayer is important. It's primary. You have to seek God's direction, right? But listen, when God speaks, it's time to act. It's time to act. Most of us are comfortable praying for God to move, right? Most of us will say, "God, send this. God, do this. Lord, we want to see this. We want you to do this. God, do this." And we'll pray and we'll pray and we'll pray and we'll pray for that. Sometimes we'll pray till we're blue in the face praying. And God is saying, I'm hearing you, and I'm ready to do it. Do something. I think God is telling us sometimes, go ahead. You've got my blessing. I'm going to honor it, and I'm going to help you. But you got to start. You got to do something. Most of us are comfortable praying for God to move. However, when we look at Jesus, we see someone who not only prayed, but was willing to act. Was willing to get his hands dirty, wounded, pierced, in order to accomplish the work. And I believe for some, it's time to get up and get going. I believe for some of us, it's time to get up and get moving. Start doing something. Start serving. Start doing more. Start doing something. I also believe for some, it's time to answer God's first call. That call is into a relationship with Him. And the time to act is now. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because we have plans, right? I mean, I've even got a calendar that has 2014 on it. I do. I have one. But I'm not guaranteed that it's going to show up. I'm talking about the year 2014. I'm not guaranteed that I'm going to be around in 2014. I don't have any guarantees. You don't have any guarantees. Let me tell you something. There are people who are headed home today that will never make it. I hope it's none of you. Unless it's because the Lord came and took us all away. I'm okay with that one. Sometimes we get convinced, well, and we're really good at planning stuff out. We plan, okay, this coming next year, this next month, tomorrow, later this afternoon, I'm gonna. And sometimes, I mean, there's nothing wrong with planning. Planning is important, okay? But when you hear God speaking to you, the planning's already been done by Him. All you have to do is respond to it. He's already done the planning. Remember, He planned things for us to do in advance. Our job is to find out what that is, then get involved. And get involved. Now, I said for some of us, I believe the first call has not been answered yet. And that call is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Really, the two can't be separated. A lot of times we're ready to accept Him as Savior, right? Because that saves us from hell, keeps us from burning, right? But we're not really ready to accept the Lord part, because that means we have to follow His leadership. We have to do what He says. We have to submit our plans to Him, right? We have to be in submission to Him, set our plans aside maybe and follow His plan. We don't like to do that. We don't want to be saved and we want to have our cake and eat it too. But what we don't, when we think like that, what we don't realize is that God's cake's better than my cake. Amen. His has got like the buttercream and the good stuff in it, you know, and chocolate sprinkles even, or coconut little on top, little toasted coconut. Whatever it is. His cake's better than my cake. And you can have it and eat it too. That's Savior and Lord. They're not separate. They cannot be separated. And I would submit to you today that if you want Jesus as Savior but not as Lord, you don't have Him as Savior or Lord. The time to act is when you hear God's voice. Some of you may be hearing God's voice today. It's time. It's time. It's time to get your hands dirty. You've been praying about it. You've been asking for guidance. And God is speaking to you, and so now it's time to dive in and go. This church is going places. We're doing stuff. And God is not through with us. He's got a plan for us, and it's a good plan. But it's going to take us. It's going to take us getting our hands dirty, diving in, getting wounded, becoming vulnerable, It's going to take us doing that. For some, when you hear God's voice saying, come to me. Come to me and let me show you what a relationship with me looks like. I would encourage you, don't put that aside. Don't put that aside, because there may come a day when he stops calling. There will come a day if you put it off long enough. And like we talked about a while ago, when you find yourself kneeling in front of him and he says, sorry, depart from me, I never knew you. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. Again, sometimes Rebecca says that it's kind of like pulling teeth. And I can't pull your teeth. I really can't. I'm not that good of a dentist. Ask my kids. They've seen it, experienced it. I'm not that good of a dentist. I can't urge you. I can't urge you enough. I can't convict you. I can't convince you that you need Jesus. But he can. And he does. And listen, when you hear his voice, act upon it. Whatever that is, whether that's for salvation, whether that's for a ministry, whether that's for volunteering to work, maybe that's whatever it is, whenever you hear God's voice, act on it. I pray that as we go into this next year, that we become a church of action, that we become a group of active people, more than what we are. There's some of you that are active, okay? And God bless you. But if we're going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish here in this place, it's going to take more. It's going to take more. Are you willing? Are you willing? Maybe the Lord has spoken to you today. Let me change that. The Lord has spoken to you today. If you choose to receive it and you choose to act on whatever he's told you today, we're about to have a time for you to do that. This altar is going to be open for you. I'm going to be standing here. Rebecca will be standing here in front. If you want to have some prayer, somebody to pray with you, you can come to one of us. We'll be glad to do that. Jonathan will be here available, specifically if you're a youth. Jonathan is here available for you. The prayer altar is open. There are other people in this congregation that would love to pray with you. But don't walk out of here saying, yeah, I heard God, and I'm gonna pray about it some more. Let me tell you something, folks. When you hear God, it's time to start acting. It's time to start acting. I pray that we become a people of action. Stand with me as I pray, and then we'll have a hymn of invitation. Father, I thank you for this place. Lord, I thank you for what you have been doing here. Father, I thank you that you planned this church before it ever began. And Father, you planned it for a purpose. You planned for us to be active and to accomplish things for you here in this place. Father, I pray that as we've opened up your word today and we've seen an example of Christ, that we would follow that example. That we actively get involved, commit, that we get our hands dirty. And then we continue to lift it up and support it with prayer. Father, I pray for someone in this room today that does not know you, Father, that today would be the best Christmas present they've ever received, and that is the gift of eternal life. And it only comes from you, Father. Father, whatever you're speaking to our hearts today, and I believe, Father, that you have spoken to every heart here. The question is, are we going to respond to it? Father, I pray for us that we would respond and we would commit and our lives would be changed from this point going forward. I ask you in Jesus' most powerful and holy name. Amen.